Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Good morning, BCV. I hope you guys are doing really, really well. It's great to be with you this Sunday morning and to be able to come straight into your living room or your kitchen or wherever you're watching this from. If you haven't met me before or you haven't had me beamed into your screens before, my name is Johnny Gillespie and I've been part of BCV now for probably around about a year and a half. And this morning I have the privilege of coming to you and opening the scriptures with you guys. And so if you've been with us at all over the last number of months and even before lockdown, you'll know that we've began to look at courage in the scriptures. And we started to look at what it means to take courage as individuals and as a community. And we've been learning from the Bible through different characters what that looks like as we follow Jesus. And this morning we're going to be continuing along that courage series. And we recognize that each and every single week that all of us have something in our lives that we need courage for. No matter who we are, no matter what stage of life we're at, we can all bring to mind something that we need courage for. And how true that is of the times we're facing right now, because we live in complex and challenging times. And as we said, we're not talking about courage because we as a community or we as individuals have not shown courage, but rather because we have. Because we have shown courage before, we are now being invited into more, as the pattern so often is in scripture. When we are faithful, God invites us into more. And so we as a community and as individuals have been courageous, and we are simply being invited into more. Some of the things that we've been looking at over this courage series is how courage is something that's formed in us. Courage is something that comes underneath our formation value here at Belfast City Vineyard. Courage is usually, if not always, right in front of us. It's found in the presence of Jesus, and it's strengthened by community that is centered upon him in obedience to his call on our lives. And so this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at courage in the life of Elisha. Courage to go for the double portion. And if you were with us last week, you might remember that Harmony took us from 1 Kings 19 through the story of Elijah and how Elijah heard from the Lord. And if you look at that passage towards the end of 1 Kings 19, there's this call from Elijah to go. God calls Elijah to go and call Elisha to follow him and to bring Elisha along this journey, because Elisha will succeed him as prophet in the future. And so if you read the passage, Elijah heads off and grabs Elisha, and they go off together to follow the call that God has on their life. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the moment where Elisha officially succeeds, like properly succeeds Elijah as prophet, in 2 Kings chapter 2. So if you have a Bible with you, you can turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through to verse 18. A big enough chunk so you can track along with me. If you've got a Bible there in front of you, or you can simply have me read it over you. So 2 Kings 2 verses 1 through to 18. Let's read. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets of Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets of Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said, "yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Look, they said, we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up or set him down in some mountain or some valley. No, Elisha replied, do not send them. But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. So he said, send them. And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, didn't I tell you not to go? Big enough chunk of scripture, and there's a lot of stuff going on, but what can we learn today, thousands of years on from that encounter and this passage in scripture about taking courage? Well, first of all, eyes on the prize. As I mentioned before we actually read this passage, there's a background and a context in which this passage happens. There's a context in which this story is set in the Bible. And as with all of scripture, when we read it, we need to get our heads into that setting. We need to begin to understand the framework in which this passage actually happens. And can be particularly tempting, especially with passages like this where it's like a power encounter and there's chariots and there's fire and there's these incredible moments of splitting the seas. It can be really tempting to isolate these passages from the setting in which they actually happen. But what happens whenever we begin to put ourselves into the background and the context is the people of the story, the Elisha and the Elijah, begin to come to life in a way that they wouldn't if we didn't. And so what we're going to do is we're going to just look at a little bit of the background to this passage. And if you remember, I said that in 1 Kings 19, there's this whole story of Elijah hearing from the Lord that he was to go and anoint Elisha to succeed him as prophet. And if we look at this passage in 1 Kings 19, we can see that Elisha was a man who was hungry for God. Elisha was a man who was not willing to settle for less than what God had for him. Whenever Elijah initially goes and calls Elisha to follow him, he finds him in this field, and Elisha's out there plowing the field with the oxen. And Elijah goes over to him, you can go back and read it, and he does this kind of strange thing. He puts the cloak that he's carrying over Elisha, and basically he's symbolically just saying, come and follow me, come and be my mentee, come and like follow me and watch me, and then you will eventually succeed me as prophet. And in that moment, Elisha could easily have just turned around to Elijah and said, listen, I've got a pretty good gig here, Elijah, all right? I'm pretty sorted. I'm in my parents' field, like I'm plowing with the oxen. I've got the plowing game down now. I've mastered this bottom right corner of the field, and I've really struggled with that, but I've got there, and I get along really well with my brothers and my sisters, and I just think, maybe if you come back in a year, maybe if you come back in 2 years, then I'll think about following you. But that's not what happens when Elijah initially calls Elisha. As soon as Elijah comes and calls Elisha, Elisha drops tools and goes. He heads back to his family and has this big kind of last supper with them, and then off Elijah and Elisha go to follow the call that God has on his life. But that hunger and that passion that Elisha carries doesn't diminish through the rest of his life. Between Elisha's call in 1 Kings 19 and then this passage where he is actually like commissioned and it is now his mantle to carry in 2 Kings 2, there's four chapters where Elisha doesn't get a mention. Four chapters where Elisha just follows Elijah around. Four chapters where all he's doing is learning and serving and being second in command. But in those four chapters, there's actually 8 years that passes by. That's 8 years of being second in command. 8 years without a story to his name. 8 years of learning and training and waiting and watching for his moment. But yet in those 8 years, his hunger and thirst and passion for God does not diminish. And so when we come to this passage in 2 Kings 2, where they're tracing from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho and to the Jordan, Elisha's hunger is so evident. He refuses to give up following what God has put on his life. Time and time again, Elijah turns to him and says, listen, Elisha, you should just stop here. I need to go on to the Jericho. I need to go on towards the Jordan. I need to head on to this next place. You should just wait here. But what is Elisha's response each time? As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. He refuses to stop and stay. He refuses to give up on the journey that God has called him to, because he knows that his eyes are fixed forward on what God has anointed him with. And then there's these prophets that come at the different places. They're called the groups of prophets. And they're pretty much just these guys who are prophetic, and they're hanging around in Jericho or wherever it may be. And they approach Elisha at different points along this journey, and they come up to him and they say, "Listen, Elisha, like, you realize your master's going to be taken away from you. You're kind of headed towards a little bit of a dead end here, Elisha. Like, you should probably chill out." And Elisha turns to them and he says, "Yes, I know, so be quiet." Each time, "Yes, I know, so be quiet." He doesn't deny it's going to happen. It isn't refusal of the truth, but in fact, it's clarity on where he is going. His clarity and his focus forward causes him to keep his eyes on the prize. It causes him to keep his eyes fixed on what God has called him to. His assignment from God to follow Elijah until he succeeds him keeps him moving forward, because his eyes are fixed forward on the call that God has for him. Elisha's courage moment in this passage, where he goes for the double portion, isn't this isolated event of a, you know, cocky 20 or 30 something year old guy who just wants way more than Elijah had. This is the culmination moment of nearly a decade of hungering after God. It's a culmination moment of a lifetime hungering and thirsting after the call that God has on his life. It's this kind of pinnacle moment where, even when he wasn't in the public eye, even whenever he wasn't getting stories to his name, even when he was second in command, he was still fixed forward on what God had called him to. And the same needs to be true of us, BCV. The same needs to be true of us as individuals. There can be this temptation to put off following Jesus seriously because that's something we can do later. There can be a temptation to put it off because that's something we can do in the future. It can become something that we push and shrug off until we have the big moment that we're hoping for, until we have the big call and we are in the limelight and we are being seen and known and recognized. But following God's call doesn't start in the future. Following God's call in our lives doesn't start in the future. It starts in the present. Elisha's eyes were fixed forward on the call that God gave him 8 years before, that caused him to keep moving and live a life of forward motion. It kept him from stagnating. It kept him from giving up. It kept him hungry for the call that God has. And maybe for you, as you hear that this morning, you can remember a time gone by, maybe, you know, months ago, maybe years ago, maybe even decades ago, where you knew that sense of clarity of calling. You knew that sense of forward motion, and I know what I'm reaching for. I know the direction I'm going. My eyes are fixed on the prize. But for some reason, over the years, life has just become squished and pressed and pushed, and that sense of clarity and calling has kind of become a little bit diminished. It's kind of just rusted over the years, and you've kind of lost that sense of forward motion. And maybe this morning, as you find yourself in that place, it's time to begin to get the ball rolling again. Can I invite you, if you find yourself there, that maybe this is an opportunity for you to get the ball rolling again? We can learn from Elisha's life that he lived a life characterized by forward motion, and the forward motion that he lived was directed by his vision on the calling he'd been given. And maybe this morning you need to come to Jesus and just recognize that you need hunger and passion again. Maybe you need to come for the first time and ask him to give you a clarity on your calling. Maybe you need to be willing to drop tools and follow whatever the cost. Perhaps, you know, for example, you feel like you want to be an evangelist, and you've got this hunger to stand up in front of the crowds and preach with this mic to thousands of people about the gospel of Jesus. Well, what if that started in the interim? What if that started in the period of time where you don't get a story to your name? What if that started before you were handed the mic or before you were given the big crowds? What if that was to start here and now in your everyday, rather than waiting for the moment to come, starting where you are, telling friends and family and co-workers or whoever it is that you meet about Jesus? Whatever that call is that God has given you, don't push it off. Don't wait for your big moment of glory. Start in the present, start small, and let's get the ball rolling so we can begin to live lives of forward motion like Elisha. Secondly, courage to go for the double portion. Elisha's life is a life of forward motion. After 8 years in the making of serving and following and learning from his earthly master Elijah, his moment finally comes in 2 Kings chapter 2, the moment that he's been waiting for to succeed Elijah as prophet. They cross through the Jordan after Elijah strikes it with his cloak and performs like his final miracle. And Elijah turns in verse 9 to Elisha and he says, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?" Now, pause. Put yourself in Elisha's shoes, right? You've been trekking with this guy through the desert, through the wilderness, seeing him do incredible miracles for 8 years or so. You've been watching his every move. You've been learning from him. You've been training underneath him. He's almost become like a father figure to you. And he turns to you in his final moments and he says, "What can I do for you?" You might want to pause just the live stream right now, or if you're watching later on, just pause the video and maybe just ask people around you, have a conversation about that. Ask God, talk to him. What would you say in that moment? What would be your response to that question? What can I do for you? Let's read on. "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." Elisha's response, "Let me inherit a double portion." The moment finally comes, the moment that he's been waiting for and trekking around and knowing that he's anointed from. And what does he do? He doesn't hold back. He doesn't shy away. When his opportunity comes to go for what God has put upon his life, he doesn't do the Northern Irish thing. He doesn't like kind of think, "Oh, no, sure, Elijah, don't you worry about it. You know, you take care of yourself, Elijah. You've got more concerns here. You're the guy that's about to be whisked up in the chariots. You think about yourself first." Rather than that, he doesn't hold back. He goes for twice as much as Elijah carried. He wants double the portion of the spirit that Elijah carried. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. "As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel.' And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan." Now, it's hard to place ourselves in Elisha's shoes here. It's hard to get ourselves into this scenario, but how did you think you would have responded to that question? How did you think you would have responded when Elijah would have asked you, "What do you want?" Maybe you thought, "Oh, sure, I would have went for the triple portion. I would have went for the quadruple portion." Elisha, you could have asked for even more than that. Come on, like, get on board, man. But let's be honest. Let's be real with ourselves. If that question was asked to you, what would you really go for? Because if I'm totally honest with myself, I know that I probably would have shied away from that question. It would have made me feel internally uncomfortable. What do you want, Johnny Gillespie? What do you want me to do for you? I would have felt super uncomfortable, and I would probably have done the Northern Irish thing and tried to shy away and push the question back upon Elijah. I probably wouldn't have went for it. I probably would have been scared of almost looking too confident or too full of myself and thinking, "I've got all this," and I would have been scared of what people would think. And so I probably would have shied away from the question. Well, here's the thing. Elisha was asking in this passage for what was rightfully his. If you look in Deuteronomy 21 and you look at what the double portion is, it was the amount assigned to the firstborn son in the inheritance from the father. The double portion was what was rightfully deserved for the firstborn son. It was literally his birthright, the thing that he was born to go on to carry. And we know that Elisha was anointed for this day. This was what God had called him to carry. This is exactly what he was meant to go after. So let's map that over to us for a moment, because we're not Elisha in the middle of the wilderness, 20 or 30 something years old, following Elijah around in the middle of Israel a couple of thousand years ago. But what we are today, BCV, what you are as an individual, is anointed by God in heaven to carry his holy presence into the world around us. In fact, let me just read the words of Jesus to his disciples, less than 20 miles as the crow flies from where this encounter between Elisha and Elijah happens, just before he ascends to heaven in Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 46 onwards, Jesus to his disciples. "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Jesus' disciples are anointed with power from on high. They go off, in the book of Acts you can read about it, and the Holy Spirit comes down. Or literally, as he says in this passage, they are clothed with power from on high as Jesus goes up to heaven. Elijah goes up in the chariot, his cloak falls down, and Elisha is anointed with power from on high. So let me ask you, with what is rightfully yours, by extension of what Jesus gave to the disciples, we now carry the Holy Spirit. We now carry the double portion. What are you going to do with what is rightfully yours? What are you going to do with what Jesus has given to you? Are you going to accept? Are you going to go after the double portion? Are you allowing yourself to receive what Jesus has already given to you? Because in the story here of Elisha, he asks and he receives, but then he has to actually take the cloak when it falls from Elijah. We need to stop being so Northern Irish about what God has given us. We need to stop being so scared of taking and running with what God has placed in our hands. We are so prone to push back on what God has chosen to give us because we're scared of looking like we're too full of ourselves. And so in this inverted pride, we push back on what God has given us because we're scared of what people will think of what we think of ourselves. We need to take the double portion and go after what God has given us. Let me read a little quote from Alan Scott, a Vineyard pastor here. You might be familiar with. The idea of glory sits uncomfortably with us. We are happy to sing, "In my life, Lord, be glorified," but we struggle when God makes his glory visible in us and on us. False humility lives afraid of glory. True humility carries it. Often we play less of me and more of you, or all of you and none of me. But God doesn't want it to be all of him and none of you. He had that before he created you. Yet in love, he chose you because he wanted it to be all of him and all of you. His greatness is never dependent on making you less. It is demonstrated in raising you up in Christ. God has anointed us to carry his presence into the world. If you are following Jesus this morning, you are clothed with power from on high. So how are you doing with carrying that? How are you doing with receiving what Jesus has given you from on high? How are you doing with picking up the cloak and going after what God has placed upon you? And how are you doing with reaching for the double portion and being unafraid to take it and go for more? Because God wants to partner with you. We need to stop being so scared of what God has put right in front of us. Let us learn from Elisha's attitude of courageously going after the double portion and let that inform our courageous steps towards it this morning. We need to summon up the courage to go after what is rightfully ours, or what Jesus has in his grace already given to us. A friend of mine once told me, it was just shortly after I got married, only 2 and a bit months ago, "Johnny, you aren't serving anyone better by living smaller than your calling." Elisha's forward motion life and his eyes fixed forward led him to a place where he was not afraid to go after what was rightfully his. Where do you need to summon up the courage to go for the double portion today? Where do you need to accept what God has already given to you in his grace? Where do you need to repent of living less than what God calls you to? To live into what he has already given you. To accept the power that we've been appointed with from on high. To accept and run after rather than holding at bay what God has put upon us with some kind of false humility. But instead to go after courageously the double portion that he wants to give us. Finally, courage requires us to keep going on. Notice what Elisha does as soon as he puts the cloak upon himself. He gets to work. It reads in verse 14, "He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and he struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. "When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left and he crossed over." Right away, Elisha puts his calling to the test. And if you read on, the group of prophets that initially kind of were like, "Elisha, you're probably heading for a dead end here. Your master's going to be taken away from you." If you read on, they actually come back to him and they say, perhaps with these guys that you know, we've got round us, we could go and look for Elijah, because maybe he's been thrown up into the mountains. And Elisha's like, listen, guys, he is gone. Like, I've watched him. He's gone. Trust me, he's gone. And they persist and they persist and he keeps saying no. And eventually it says in the passage, he's so embarrassed by the persistence that he just says, go on ahead. And these guys come back round it 3 days later. And Elisha's just like, I told you, Elijah is gone. And as soon as Elisha receives the cloak, as soon as he receives the anointing, as soon as he gets the double portion, he gets to work. As soon as the power is received, he hits the Jordan with his cloak. And even in the midst of that, there's this moment of doubt. You know, where is now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? But yet, he still puts his power into action. He still puts the anointing that he's been waiting for into action. Immediately, he splits the seas and begins to put that forward motion into movement again, carrying on towards God, what God has called him to. There's a temptation when we're called and when we're empowered to look back at what lay before us and wish that we still had our Elijah. There's the temptation to look back at what lay before us and think, if only Elijah was with me to hold my hand. But when this moment comes, Elisha doesn't look back. He moves forward into what God has called him to. He realizes Elijah's gone. The responsibility now lies on my shoulders. I need to get on and move on into what God is calling me to. If he isn't going to carry it, then who is? The courage to go for the double portion also requires us to continue through into the calling. When we are anointed as we are, when we are commissioned as we are, we need to continue to put that forward motion into our lives. We can't wait around because Elijah is gone. It now lies with us. And maybe for some of us today, you've had that moment before of encounter where you've realized the power and the authority that God has put upon your life and you've heard the calling for him, but you feel to yourself like, who am I to do this? You feel clumsy and like, why would you choose me? God, surely there is someone better. And you're sitting around waiting for the Elijah to turn up to take your hand and walk you through it. But God's saying to you maybe this morning, this lies on your shoulders. I have chosen you to carry this. I have chosen you and appointed you for this moment. Maybe now you need to stop waiting around for the Elijah and let go and walk forward into what God has put upon you. Maybe it's the responsibility to steward your family into proximity to Jesus. Or maybe it's the responsibility that you've been given in work and you need to steward that thing well with kingdom integrity. Or perhaps as we move forward into the next seasons of lockdown and post-lockdown, Jesus has sent you, come and serve in my church, come and volunteer, come and step up to the ministry I'm asking you to be part of. And maybe you're just scared that you're not the person for the job, but Jesus is saying, go. If that's you this morning, you need to step up to the responsibility in Jesus' grace that he has given you because he has called you for it. We need to summon up the courage to go for the double portion, to not look back and wait for our Elijah to come hold our hand, but instead to put the wheels of forward motion into our life to begin to go towards what God has called us to. Amen. Amen. There's a couple of questions that are going up on the screen right now that you might want to just take a few moments to reflect upon as we come in for a landing. What small acts can I take towards the bigger calling that God has placed upon my life this week? What can you do today, tomorrow, your Tuesday, as you go into work, as you go to university, as you walk around Belfast or wherever you find yourself? What can you do that puts into motion what God has put upon your life? Rather than waiting for the moment in the future, what can you do tomorrow, today, right here, right now, that begins to put the calling that you feel upon your life into motion? Question two, where in my life have I rejected what God has given me from fear of looking too prideful? So often we will push back on what God has put upon us because we're scared of people thinking that we think we're too full of ourselves. What can you do, or where in your life have you rejected that? And what can you do this week that would push into what God has already placed upon you? And finally, what responsibility is on my shoulders that I need to step up and carry? What do you need to shoulder that God is asking you to carry and has put upon your life? Amen. Amen. Let me just pray for us as we come towards a close. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are the God that calls us, that you trust us to carry your presence, and you've asked us to do it, that we, through your grace, are the people that you've chosen to bring your kingdom here on earth as in heaven, that you left us with anointing and with power, Thank you for the lessons in a licious life that we can learn about moving towards the calling you've placed upon us, about going in forward motion, about not being scared of what you've put in our hands, about not pushing back out of some false humility, but rather, Lord, about running towards what you've called us to and becoming the people that you long for us to be. And we pray that this week you would make us courageous, strong, bold people who are not afraid of the calling you've placed upon us, who are not afraid of what you've given us in our hands, but rather live lives of forward motion like Elisha and run hard after what you've put in front of us. Thank you for your grace that calls us, that it is all in your mercy and your strength that we do any of these things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.